Philippians 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 6, yeah. All right, quickly, it says, be careful for nothing. I've been looking at this through the weeks. Now, just follow me in this teaching here, right, because very practical. It's the law of the spirit of life, right, which is the law there, the perfect law of liberty. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we did explain what prayer and supplication is. Because of time, I can't go back into that. But it says, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And that the way God will respond is that the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Then Paul went on and said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue in them, any praise in them, he said, think upon these things. So Paul said that, listen, the peace of God will come into your heart and mind, and then thoughts will be there, think upon these things. And so we saw that when we offer up a specific supplication unto God based on a solid prayer, which is a citation of the scriptures, relevant scriptures that cover that particular situation, and then make our request known unto God, having cited the scriptures, that God will respond as we stay there and pray through with his peace that passeth all understanding. And then Paul talked about, and they will keep our hearts and minds, and then Paul talked about thinking upon certain things. So if you put up Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, all right, we saw that when we pray, all right, unto God, the way what God does is that he communicates unto us thoughts, which means that in answer to that prayer, he will begin to reveal his thoughts concerning it. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So when we pray unto him and make our request known, in order to give us that expected end, God says, I'm going to empower that to happen in your life. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to communicate what I am thinking, my thoughts. I'm going to, all right, pour them into, all right, your soul, your heart, and your mind. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the thoughts and the ways, which as rain or falls, it is the thoughts of God that are falling into the soil of the human heart, and that's what brings about productivity within that life. So God, all right, will begin to release his thoughts to you, right, concerning that particular thing. He will begin to pour out his thoughts. Sometimes you are praying in the spirit, all right, thoughts now begin to come out of your heart. And let me just say something. Extended times of prayer, all right, in the spirit, okay, will get you to a place where inspired thoughts begin to come. And the greatest things that will happen in your life will happen as a result of thoughts that came to you while you are praying in tongues. During midweek, I said this. I said, listen, therefore, you must have a time where you create time where you can spend an extended period of time praying in the spirit. And I gave an example here, all right, of my pastor, Lube Johnson. He was, well, we say, well, I'm busy, I understand that. You know, you have to go to work and all of that. So maybe on every day you can't do that. But set aside a day. It could be a Saturday, it could even be after church on Sunday, but set aside some time, where you can practice the art of spending considerable amount of time praying in tongues, because it will do more for you, all right, for everything that you're doing, do more for your, even that career, all right, than just laboring and laboring, where the thoughts of God can begin to come out of your heart there. I remember it was while I was pacing during, all right, one of our fasts many years ago. It was in December, a 10-day fast, that the thoughts of platform just welled up, all right? Of course, it wasn't called platform, but it was the thoughts of having something like that. And when those kind of thoughts come, I just thought it would be a seminar and some small thing with maximum of 5,000 people, all right? But when it comes directly out of the Holy Ghost, right, it always goes beyond anything, all right, that you can, all right, you can conceive there. So thoughts that come out during the last, this vigil on Friday, four powerful thoughts came to me, very strong thoughts. All right, okay? So while you are praying in the Spirit there, I'm praying in the Spirit, right? These thoughts begin, okay? And God wants to communicate his thoughts to you to give you the expected end. Sometimes you will open the Word of God, all right, and you begin to see revelation things. He starts communicating things that will minister peace to you concerning that thing, an assurance, and tell you that, you know, these things will bring about an expected end. You will see that it will be fulfilled there. Now, if you go to Psalm 85 and verse 8, Psalm 85 and verse 8, it says, I will hear what the Lord will speak. And this is what Paul was saying. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not again turn to folly. In other words, even though thoughts of peace, all right, are being communicated, what happens is, you, after some time, you don't think upon these things. You don't meditate upon these things there. And then you turn to things, suggestions that are coming from the outside. And then that's turning again, beholding lying vanities, turning to foolishness, and then the disturbance and the anxiety begins to come back. So Paul teaches, therefore, this. This is what he was teaching. Since you have offered up the prayer for something, and God answers and begins to communicate thoughts, you must, all right, begin to think upon these things. And he said, the only things you should think about are the things, all right, that have these characteristics there. And therefore, for them to have all these characteristics, they are thoughts that come from God. So Paul teaches that if we desire certain changes in the condition of our lives, and we have offered up prayer unto God for it, then we shall entertain, this is what he's saying, only those thoughts that are consistent with that particular objective. Which means you should only entertain in your mind. This is what Paul is saying. Only those thoughts that are consistent with our objective. That if any thought comes up that is contrary, all right, to that particular objective there, then what you've got to do is what he said, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God to the pulling out of strongholds, cast down imagination, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So every thought, all right, must be brought into the obedience of Christ concerning, all right, the very things that you are believing God for. You cannot have thoughts, all right, this is something powerful. You can't say, well, I've prayed, and then your mind is running on various things, and you are not consciously thinking, all right, about certain things. It says here, okay, all right, we're saying here that every thought must therefore be brought into obedience. That's why in James chapter 1, James said it this way, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask in faith. It says that, all right, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. It says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable. So it tells us your mind can be, there can be this duality there. You can be double-minded. That if someone is double-minded about something, he cannot receive anything from the Lord. He won't be able to receive what God has given. So God has given, but for you to be able to receive it, it says your mind has to be single. All right, which means that the only thing, every thought must be brought into obedience, all right, to Christ concerning that thing. Anytime you think consciously about it, you must bring that thought into obedience to Christ. Anytime you find a thought deviating to something negative, you must bring that thought back into obedience, all right, to Jesus Christ. And how do you do this, right? It's by, you use your words. We'll see this. So somebody says that a thought comes. Let's assume this. A thought comes to the person to steal money. Let's assume they're under some pressure. They have prayed to God. And then they're walking somewhere and they see an opportunity to steal money. And it says every thought must be brought into obedience to Christ. And so the Holy Spirit says, now begin to bring that thought there of stealing into obedience to Jesus. It is about meeting a need. So use this word. Say this, that God will cause all grace to abound towards me, giving me sufficiency in all things, and I'm able to abound now to every generous donation. Then you repeat it. God has caused all of his grace to abound towards me, giving me sufficiency. This very need that I want to get met, God by his grace has met this need in abundant measure. He has given me sufficiency, and outside meeting this need, from the abundance, I'm engaged in a charitable donation. In other words, let him that still no more, but let him work. I said, therefore, I work with my hands that I might have to give to him that is in need. For God is the one that supplies all of my need according to his riches. You are bringing every thought. You are bringing every thought into captivity through the obedience of Christ. So the reason why a thought comes to us in the first place, all right, it's because it's seeking for expression through us. Which means the reason why any thought comes to you in the first place, which means God communicates his thoughts. The reason why when you read the Bible, certain thoughts come to you is because those thoughts are seeking, all right, for somebody that will host them and then allow them to gain expression on the earth, right? Satan also is trying to look for a host, an earthly suit there that will host these thoughts there, all right, that are coming in the realm of the spirit there, so that they can materialize those things. So you've got to make a choice. Am I going to be a host for the thoughts of God that will bring about, all right, this form in my life, or I'm going to be a take other thoughts? So you want to receive the thoughts of God that is communicating. He says, I'm looking for a host. I think it was Mr. Lickholder who used that concept the first time I heard it about hosting thoughts. He said an entrepreneur is a person who hosts business ideas on the earth. All right, ideas that will produce for commercial venture, which means he is a host for those things. The ideas come and he decides that I am going to be the host for this particular idea. I am not going to let it go. To be the host means this thought now, all right, can find its abode in your own heart and in your own life. And, you know, things will happen so that you can, you know, stop hosting the thought, which means that pressure comes. But you say, no, the reason why we fly today in planes is because somebody allowed the idea. Somebody said, I'll host the idea of flying. And they mocked him. They did all kinds of things, but they retained that idea until it crystallized into what we have today, which are jets that take us all around. Somebody said, I will host this thought, all right, while some other people might have gotten it and then said, you know, I can't host this, all right, particular thought on the inside of me. So you decide to host that particular thought there because thoughts are looking for, all right, a way for material. That's why they come to you. They want to express themselves. They want to, you know, manifest on the earth there. And so God says, these are the things that I want to bring forth in your life. And so you must decide that you are going to be a host, right, for this particular thoughts that I'm bringing. That's going to be the only thing that will dwell on the inside of you. You are not going to host, all right, any other thing, all right, that is contrary to this. So we can either reject, all right, or we can accept them, and we do that with our words. So the way you start saying I'm going to host means that you begin, all right, to accept those thoughts with your words. And what you do is that the form that those thoughts want to express themselves, which means as they come, there's a form they want to be in your life. There are things that they want, which means if this thought is expressed, this is how, you know, things will be. You'll start calling those things as though they are. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. We'll say this here. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying. So the way you take a thought or you start hosting a thought is by saying it. Now, I was going to say that somebody, I heard someone say, she said that when a thought comes, if you don't host it and you leave it, it keeps coming, you don't host it, you don't host it. Finally, after some maybe years, you do. You might regret that it took you so long to host that idea. But if that thought goes into somebody else and the person hosts it, it means life has moved on without you. You follow what I'm saying? And the things that we see on the earth, we say Henry Ford. It might not have been Henry Ford that was the first person to get the thought of a car, but it was the first person to be the host of the car. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right, we say, well, Steve Jobs. It might not have been the first person that idea came to, but was the first person to say, I will host this idea. So let me tell you, powerful ideas, all right, that come in answer to prayer, I'm honestly telling you, if you don't host those things, very soon you'll see somebody else, all right, hosting those things. If I got in, it had nothing to do with me. I went to America, I saw something. All right, I'm a pastor, I won't do it. But I said, if somebody does this kind of business, if somebody does this business in Nigeria, if I wanted to go and tell someone that day, I said, if you do this thing, you will succeed. You will succeed. So thoughts come in. Okay? I mean, it wasn't somebody else had got the idea, so in some other country. Are you following what I'm saying? And so those thoughts come in. And if people don't do it, you don't host those thoughts, right? Then it moves, okay, somewhere else. And the person that hosts the thoughts first, which means they laugh at and says, I'm going through on this. The environment, it makes no excuses. There's no power. I'm going through on it. All right? It flooded. I'm going through on it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? You understand this? There's water here. I'm going through on it. The first person to see through is the person that gets the manifestation on the outside. But don't tell me it is the first. In fact, the truth about the matter is a lot of things that Bill Gates did, he saw somewhere else. In fact, they said he was a classical something. All right. I didn't say it. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 17. So it says this, Matthew 15, 11. It says, it is not that which goeth into a man's mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of his mouth, this is what defiles a man. Then it tells us in 16, when they asked him, he said, are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, it's cast out into the draught? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. So it says the thoughts come from the heart, and they go out of the mouth, and then they defile the man, which means corrupts the man if they are evil thoughts. Now, if they are good thoughts, because it's the same law, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. An evil man, brother, evil treasure. So it's the same principle. One is producing that which is negative. The other is producing that which is godly. So good thoughts come from the Spirit of God. All right. If they are thoughts to elevate that man, then they go out of the mouth of the man. Right? And then it now elevates that man, which means it enters into that man's life. So the first form, which thoughts therefore will find, which means the thoughts that is looking for expression in you, the first form that it wants is that turn me into words that you are speaking out of your lips. In other words, the first form, all right, that thought, manifestation. So the other forms were the first form is in words there that you speak. This determines the importance of our words, all right? They are the first manifestation or the manifestation of those thoughts in its first form.
Thank you for listening.